Today is Thursday, July 21st, right. And this is our 16th lecture. Who is in charge of my inner genius? My primary expression as a living entity is to be myself and have fun in everything I do. I am always happy. I am always delighted in my creation. I am always thrilled with my me-ness. These philosophical themes seem to be mere information. They cause us to become excited about being, excited about our purpose, able to do anything depending upon the games we want to play. All of our life is depending upon the games we want to play. Who is in charge of my inner genius? My primary expression of living as a living entity is to be myself and have fun in everything I do. I am always happy. I am always delighted in my creation. I am always thrilled with my me-ness. These philosophical themes seem to be mere information. They cause us to become excited about being, excited about our purpose, able to be anything depending upon the games we want to play. So, what is the game that you want to play in life? What is the game that you want to play to accomplish your goal? And you're all playing games. You're all playing games very beautifully and very powerfully and very wonderfully. And the games that you're playing are games that are telling you that you're going to get a certain result. You're going to get a certain score. You're going to get a certain achievement. Now, what is the game that you want to play? What is the game that you want to play? You want to play I can't?
No.
Or you want to play that I have?
I have.
I have all the good the universe is able to produce. I have all the good that I am able to produce. The universe has not even begun to think about the things that I have inside of me, about the imagination that I have inside of me, about the achievements and dreams and goals that I have inside of me. Now, last night we heard a couple of birds, and we were thinking to ourselves, gee, they twitter nice. We never realized that they were twittering birds. But they're twittering birds, and they're aspiring to be professional twittering birds, and we call them singers. Now, we look at them, and we think to ourselves, my goodness, I wonder what kind of birds are going to be. Are they going to be professional birds, good birds, fabulous birds, or just an ordinary bird that's singing on the wing? Which are very nice birds, too. But what kind of birds are these birds going to be? Well, these two girls are interested in singing. They're interested in having fun singing their hearts out, singing all the lovely things that make them feel good inside. And what happens when they start singing? They start acting. They start using their arms and their legs and their body to gesture their happiness, their joy. And you look on and you cannot help but sort of be taken in by the magic of what they're doing. You watch them sing and you say to yourself, whoa, are they nice? Are they good singers? Are they wonderful? They are just beautiful. They sing gloriously. They sing wonderfully. And the more they sing, the louder they get. And the louder they get, the more powerful they are. And the more powerful they are, the more we are taken by their ability to sing, by their ability and their genius. Now, we've had a seminar here, and the seminar has been, 16 hours to the moment, and plus other talks and our morning meditation, and a three-hour meditation and so forth. And nowhere in all that time did they say to us that they were singers. Nowhere in all that time did they say to us that they loved to sing. But then last night, something happened. Something happened very strange. a device came out called a motion picture camera. And so, before this motion picture camera, the two birds got up and sang gloriously. You see, when we have the right environment, when we have the right attitude, when we have the right circumstances, great things happen to us. Beautiful things happen to us. They had the environment of the camera, and that brought out their talent. What's going to bring out your talent, that hidden talent that we don't know you have? What's going to bring out that hidden genius within you that is going to sparkle you and make you start performing? Start performing. All of us can be a performer. Some want to be a performer of a politician. Some want to be a performer of a minister. Some want to be a performer and have a church. Some want to be a performer and just sit in the congregation and watch other people in the church. Some, you want to do all sorts of things. Well, now, what are these things you want to do? How can you accomplish these things you want to do? How can you reveal these things? Until the right environment happened to these two girls, of the camera coming out, the video camera, they did not sing for us. We did not know they had lovely voices. Oh, we thought they were lovely people, of course. But we didn't know they had lovely voices. What is going to bring out, what game are you going to play to bring out your hidden talent? Your hidden talent that nobody can see on the surface. What is going to bring it out? Are you going to have some magical thing come along and all of a sudden wake you up or take off and you're going to join it? Is some circus going to come along and you're going to say, that's for me. The happy life of a circus is for me. And that's not all that happy. It's a profession. It's a job. These girls who think that singing is so much fun have only begun on their career. What's going to happen to them? Number one, they're going to have to learn to do one thing that they haven't done yet. Sing without the music. Sing without the words. You can't have the words out here. You can't look at them and sing those words. And also, you never perform without practice ahead of time. You practiced ahead of time. Now, did you sing those songs 1,000 times before you got up and sang them for us? No. Maybe in your heart you did, but not in actuality. When you're playing games, you have to do that. Now, you lovely girls, could you say, I am God, I sing beautifully? Could you say that? Did you say that? No. Could you say that? Yes. If you said that, would you have to practice? Not really. If you said that, would you have to have a repertoire? Would you have to have a whole list of songs that you know by heart and that you sing beautifully? When you see a professional violinist or a professional pianist or something, he doesn't get up there with music in front of him. Oh, some of the ordinary pianists and violinists do. They know how to play. They're mechanically good, and they have the music to guide them along, and they don't remember all the notes. But when you have a quality violinist, a quality pianist, he plays without the music. He knows that music upside down, round side. He knows every nuance of it from the beginning to end. It is his life. It is his dream, his drama, his world. Now, that's intense. That's really intense. To be intense like that takes a lot of dedication. Now, is that what you want to do with your life? Give dedication in that area? If you do, that's beautiful. That's beautiful. If you have an opportunity to watch YouTubes and watch where they have child musicians, child artists, young children, 2, 3 years old, what have they done? What have they done? They love music. And they love music so much, they hear it once, and they can play it by heart. They hear it once, and it is put into their heart. It is put into their soul. It's put into their being. But they hear it once, and they play it fabulously. They play it a second time. They play it even better. They play it the third, fourth, and fifth times, and they bring it into their soul. They bring it into their heart. They bring it into their interpretation, and the music just reaches out and embraces you and takes you in its arms and says, this is beautiful. This is lovely. This is fabulous. This is glorious. Now, you say, Herb, you're getting sort of silly. No, I'm not. If you are a musician and you listen to people who play musical instruments, you can tell right away those who play from their heart and those who are just mechanical musicians. And there's nothing wrong with being a mechanical musician. If that is the limit of your talent or your ability or your desire, then play like that. But if your desire is to reach out with your music and embrace your audience and embrace your world and take them into your heart and wrap them up with the music of your soul, the music of life, of peace, of harmony. And when they get done with listening to you sing or listening to you play your instrument or listening to you at all in any musical presentation, they feel that they have gone to heaven. Not died, but they've gone to heaven. They've arrived at a state of such bliss, such joy, such magnificence, because you arrived there. And you took them, us, along for the ride. This is what I would bless you in my consciousness with. The ability to do whatever you want to do. Maybe music's not going to be your ultimate thing. Maybe your ultimate thing's going to be quite different, but who knows? But whatever you choose to do, whatever field any of you choose to be or go in or do, do it as though you have just fallen in love with your field, and you've just fallen in love with all the people in your world, brand new, and you want to embrace them with the new you. The new you that is doing your job, sweeping the floor, doing your job, tending to the children, doing your job, going out and teaching school or doing any type of work at all, working in a pharmacy or what have you, doing your job. When people come in and see a professional pharmacist, what do they think? Immediately they have confidence in that person, or even a professional doctor. We shouldn't say professional. All doctors theoretically should be professional. So when you go into a doctor's office, is your immediate feeling in that doctor's office, I can believe in this person, I can believe in the diagnosis that he's going to give me, I can believe in the treatment that he's going to give me? When you have that feeling of professionalism in whatever office you go into, in whatever field you go into, you have found the right niche for you, the right place for you, the right work for you. And go there with all your heart and love it. Go there with all your soul and be it. But remember, it's only a game. But only a game does not diminish the power of what it is. It's a game with a program, with rules, with techniques involved in it. It's a program with all sorts of things that you have to do. But then you take the 3-year-old, the 5-year-old, the 8-year-old child who has the ability to hear a song and play it instantly, absolutely note perfect on the piano. Where did this person get this magnificence? That person is 100 steps ahead of all the rest of us. They are acting from their inner divinity. They are acting from that inner self that says, not a matter of knowing it, I am the music. I am that which I play. And I think that the music would sound better coming like this than coming like this. And it's a small nuance that the average person wouldn't really notice, but the professional notices it. The professional notices the difference between an amateur and a professional. The professional notices the difference between an amateur and a would-be professional. And a professional is one who knows the rules of his game and plays it well. Unless, and perhaps we shouldn't use that word, the 5-year-old child who plays with a repertoire that's unimaginable is not playing your game or our game. He's not playing the game of being a musician. He's playing the game of being one as his divine self. Did you have another word you were going to say? He's playing one as his divine self. He is the music. He is the music. Some musicians, you hear them play and you just soar with them because they are the music. The hills are alive with the sound of music. When Mary Poppins, you just flow with her. And she's up on this Swiss mountaintop, and she's singing, "The hills are alive with the sound of music." And she's playing her guitar, and she's dancing around, and her gestures, her attitude, her feeling just make you soar with her. You feel just fine, Julie Andrews. It makes you feel just fine. It makes you feel magnificent with her. Now, is she doing that because she wants you to feel magnificent with her, or is she doing it because she feels magnificent with her? Yes, she knows her game, and she plays it well. Do you know your game? Maybe you don't have any idea what it is yet. But let's just start out with one game for all of us, shall we? Let's start out with one game for all of us, and let's call it the game of being I like me and I have fun. Being yourself and having fun. Can you play that game? You say, "Oh, sure." Well, at the moment, you haven't learned it. At the moment, you have not put that game together for yourself yet. At that moment, you're still letting other things make demands on you. You're letting your family make demands on you. You're letting your job make demands on you. You're letting the world make demands on you. And you know one of the silliest things that you're letting make a demand on you? Your environment. You are letting your environment make a demand on you. If you are truly the divine God itself, if you are truly the ultimate, there is no environment. You are untouched by the weather. You are untouched by the rain. You are untouched by the elements of any kind. They may be around you. You are untouched by them. You soar in your consciousness regardless of it. Take a person like St. Thomas of Aquinas, wonderful Catholic theologian. Well, he was just an ordinary man, just a very good student. Well, he got interested in theology. And as he got interested in theology, he thought, theology means this. Well, what the heck gave him the right to say theology means this? He did. God in him gave him the right. Now, it's not that he had a better link to God or a better understanding of divineness, of creation, of all, but he had a pen. And he had paper, and he had time, as a priest, to write all the things he wrote. He wrote volumes and volumes and volumes about theology, about God, about man, about what he thought. Now, right or wrong, that's not our question. We don't determine whether a person is right or wrong. What we do is we honor their opportunity to be themselves and have fun. We honor their opportunity to do whatever they want to do. And if you are interested in what they do, that's good too. If you are not interested in what they do, you still honor their opportunity to be themselves and have fun. You honor their opportunity to get out and accomplish what they want to accomplish. You support them in every way to be themselves and have fun. Parents do this all the time, unknowingly. They allow their children to play games. They allow their children to be themselves and have fun. They allow them children to come of age, to come of understanding, to come of peace, to come into a realization of what that child is. And if the parent really is divinely inspired, that parent will inspire the child so beautifully to find out who that child is inside themselves that they will soar at a very early age. They'll be like a Mozart at the age of 3, picking up his father's violin and playing it. How magical. How wonderful. Are they always understood? No. Do you want to understand them? No. Do you want them to be themselves and have fun? Yes. Do they sometimes do silly things while they're being themselves and having fun? Yes. Do you chastise them because of what they do? Sometimes, in your foolishness. But in your love, your great love, you have to stop and make no judgment. Just delight in where they are doing what they're doing. Now, you want to be whoever you are, and you haven't decided who that is yet. And already each one of you are 25 years old, even the little ones. You're 25 years old. And what's happening to you? What are you doing with your life? Are you doing the thing that makes you happy and makes you feel good about yourself? Or are you just doing a day-to-day activity? Well, I got to do something to earn a living. I take care of my family. I got to do this. Hey, nobody told you to have a family. Nobody told you to eat. Nobody told you to stay alive. Nobody told you to do anything. You did. You told yourself, oh, maybe your parents told you, go earn your own living. We're done supporting you. But what about you? What do you do? What are you going to do? Are you going to just say, okay, I've got to go out and do something because I got to stay alive? Or are you going to go out and do something because it's your heart talking to you? Because you listen to yourself. You listen to God in yourself say, hey, go for it. Go for it. Go for it. You know, one of the things about Mozart that always impressed me and many others too, I'm sure, is that no matter what he wrote, he never erased. He heard the perfect note of music and wrote it down. And he knew how to write it. He heard the perfect note and wrote it down for the entire symphony with all the parts of an orchestra, with all the parts of the musical declension. He was able to write it down perfectly. Now, how could he do that? And write good music. But not good music, write exquisite music. His music is outstanding. And his music is everlasting. His music is something very special. He connected with the divine in him, surely. He connected with knowing who and what he is. You are that Moses, Mozart. You are that St. Thomas. You are all these great beings who chose, against great odds sometimes, to be themselves and have fun, regardless of how difficult it may have been. You know? Do you think Mozart might have wished that he could go out and play games with the kids instead of write music? Sure. Why did he stay and write music? Not because his father told him he had to do it. That's what we're told. Because that seems to be the logical thing that his father would say, do this. But no, because in him, caged up in his heart, and the word caged up isn't right, but bubbling over out of his heart was all of the glorious music that he was. And He didn't have to do it. He was compelled by the very nature of himself, always giving, always giving, always giving of everything from within him without. Now, none of you have that same interest. All of you have that same capacity. Mozart was blessed, perhaps, to find early in life his interest, his talent. Many people find early in life their talent. Many people find it early but then do not follow it. And because they do not follow it, they do not achieve all the greatness that they are. Is it ever too late? Not at all. Many great artists have changed from one field to another, even in their great artistry. And you think that they would stay with the artistry that they did. But they moved into another area because they felt another calling inside of themselves. They felt another magic inside of themselves that wanted to be expressed. And this magic within them that wanted to be expressed, what was it? It was God. It was the divine. It was who they are. It's not who we are that is so important that makes a difference in our life. It's what we are that makes a difference. Everyone is a who. Everyone is God. But is everyone a revealed God? Is everyone someone who chooses to be God and acts like God under all circumstances? Is it someone who, under all circumstances, is revealing who they are and being who they are and expressing who they are and living who they are? That's a great talent. That's a great opportunity and a great privilege. And you have that privilege. You have that opportunity. You have that talent. You are God. Not God personified. You are God actual. You are God, the totality of God. And are you going to play the game of letting the peephole out and God coming through that little peephole and saying, "Hi, world"? Or are you going to open the doors of your heart wide and let God flow out of you in the allness that God is? You can. And when you do, you feel very good about yourself. You feel very wonderful about yourself. You feel very uplifted. You feel very fantastic. You can do it. Now, do you want to? Is it something that would make you happy? Is it something that would make you feel very good to take your talent and give it to the world? The great musicians like Anzio Pinza, yes, Mario Lanza, they had voices that came with them. Maria Callas, they had voices that rang out of their soul throughout their entire life. And they sang operatic arias that were glorious. They sang music that turned on people. And then something happened to them. They were asked to sing before a group of people on behalf of a volunteer organization where they were giving of all of their talent, giving of all the money that it earns, giving it to some type of an organization, the Church of God Unlimited. And as they were doing this, they came alive because they were not being paid to be them. They were being paid to give it as a gift. And so then their gift they made to be even more grand. Their gift they made to sing with a voice that was unimaginable. Their gift was an imagination that they presented their music so fabulously, so wonderfully, that all the world said, "Wow, you can do that too." And you need no more motivation than just to give. When you give, you have done the greatest thing that you could ever do. Now, it's not a matter that you shouldn't be paid. The Bible tells us every workman is worthy of his hire. Well, yes, you should be paid, but you should be so, and that should be, you can be so competent that you don't need to be paid. Mario Lanza didn't need to be paid. He was so wealthy. He had everything. He didn't need anything. But also, when you arrive at this stage, where you are at the top of your career, the top of your expression, be very careful. Be very careful that you know who you are and be who you are, and in being who you are untouched. At the top of your profession, if someone comes up to you and says, I don't like your singing. If some professional came up to you and said, I don't like what you've done, how you present yourself. If someone comes up and says, you are not a nice person, for whatever reason, good, bad, or indifferent. And having this be done, if you are touched by whatever they say, you are nothing. You are nothing. Even if it does not apply to you, even if what they say is invalid, is not true, if it is not anything that really concerns you, but you are touched by it. And when you are touched by it, you are speechless. You are songless. You are not able to perform. If you perform at all times for yourself, being yourself and having fun, if you perform at all times to give your very best from the divine within you, if it is the divine within you that is pouring out and being itself, which it is, sometimes you want to take credit for the human and say, that's me, my human self, that's not God. But it's always God. And when you let it be God and you are it as God, you are so wonderful, you are so fantastic, you are so magnificent, all the world makes a beeline to your door to say, hurrah, congratulations, you're wonderful, you're fantastic. Now, you can fight for all the causes in the world. You can raise the greatest families in the world. You can be the most exquisite mother, father, sister, brother, aunt, uncle, cousin, child, whatever you may be. But if you are not being yourself and having fun, you are nothing. And the words of Kalia Gibran sing out to that in its various areas, in its areas of marriage, in its areas of children, in its areas of life. They sing out to that. They say about a child between parents is but an arrow that is shot into the heavens, and where it lands, you know not, and you don't care. Can you be that way about your children? Let them go and be the magic beings that they are. You took them during the crucial years of their life and you told them how wonderful they are. And did you tell them sincerely how wonderful they are? And did you then, shooting them into the heavens, allow them to go and be how wonderful they are? That's the big step. That's hard for many parents. They want to hold on to their lovely children and their lovely geniuses because they are all so wonderful. Are we ready to play the game of life? Are we ready to be ourselves and have fun? Are we ready to do the things that turn us on and turn the world on? Are you ready to be a Maria Callas who sings so gloriously and that into her late years, I believe she was 90, into her late years, she was still singing because she had trained her voice and her diaphragm well to perform for her. She did not strain her throat. She did not strain her voice. The music came from her soul. It came from the depth of her heart. The music came out through her diaphragm, brought forth powerfully, enlivening a grand theater audience that had no microphones.
Yeah.
Remember, there was a time when they didn't have microphones, when the actors on stage had to speak loudly and had to gesticulate with their lips. We are living in a world of wonder, so that people could read their lips if they chose to. That's why the grimaces that the early actors had, because they were projecting with their lips, with their facial expression, with their voice, with everything about them, because they didn't have microphones. They didn't have the video systems that we have today. And they were heard, just like the Master. He stood on the mountainside with the mountains around him and the valley between him, with 5,000 people outdoors, the wind blowing at the Sea of Galilee, with all the activity and all the distractions. The people had their sheep with them. They had their children with them. They had to entertain all these people. And Jesus, speaking from his place, was heard by the last of them in the farthest reaches of the hills. Now, this is what they say. I believe it. Do you believe it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I believe it. I believe that we can, because he used more than just his ability to give his voice. He gave from his heart and his soul and his being, and the people felt it and knew it. The people felt it and knew it. When a doctor walks into a clinic, and in the clinic are many who are ill, very bad, the moment the doctor walks in, his charisma brightens up that clinic. People say there's hope. People say they can get well. It's a chance. And his charisma is beautiful and fantastic and far-reaching. Your charisma is beautiful, fantastic, and far-reaching. You are fantastic. You're God. You're the allness of God. You're the goodness of God. You're everything that the world could ever dream about. And you are it right now. Now, are you willing? Are you interested in playing the game of being God? Sounds interesting, doesn't it? Are you interested in playing the game of being yourself and having fun?
Yes.
Do you think that God is playing the game of being itself and having fun?
Yes.
You bet your life. You bet yourself. God is being itself and having fun. Do you think Jesus played the game all of his life of being himself and having fun?
Yes.
You bet. Yeah, when he was coming back with his parents from an outing, and he stopped and talked to the priest and didn't tell his mom that he was stopping at the tabernacle to talk to the people, to the priest. What happened? They couldn't find him. And all the neighbors that he was supposed to have been with, he wasn't with them. And so they backtracked. And they found him there in the synagogue talking to the masters. And the masters were saying, "This is a profound young man. This is a most amazing young man. This is a young man who is truly fantastic. Truly fantastic." And they did not say, "We believe what he said," but you can be sure they thought about it. They did not say, "He is divine above us," but they surely thought he was a remarkable. It's like an autistic child. They are remarkable. All they said about him was that he was, is, and always will be truly amazing, being himself and having fun. You are being yourself and having fun. You are doing your own life, your own thought, your own world, your own work, your own choices all the time. Wherever you go, you're being fantastic. Now, as you go into your world, as you go out into your life experience, remember to be yourself and have fun. Remember who your parents are, who your friends are, who are other people in your world is absolutely unimportant. Zilch. Nothing. Not important at all. Sounds like something might be coming, doesn't it? They're not important at all. There's only one being that's important. Who would like to read the little slip they picked off of the table this morning? Would any of you like to read the little slip of paper that you picked off the table?
Yes. Who you are makes the difference.
Who you are makes the difference. And I say, not who you are, because all are God, but what you are makes the difference. Now, what are you? Are you God?
Yes.
Are you divine?
Yes.
Are you fantastic?
Yes.
Are you glorious?
Yes.
Could you ever do anything that would make you not divine?
No.
No. Could you ever do anything that would make your parents ashamed of you?
No.
No. Even if your parents weren't very bright, which most of them are not. Most parents are not very bright. Most parents don't realize that they have a genius in their house. Some do, but most don't. You know why I say most don't? Because they would spend 100% of their time encouraging that brightness. You can be sure, if you have a Mozart in your house, he's going to be spending time at the piano practicing. He's going to be on parade. He's going to be on show. Just like his sister. She was a stupendous pianist too, and from an early age she played on show. How many of you have certain gifts that you present to the world? Not many. You can. You can do anything. Be yourself and have fun. Are you able to do that?
Yes.
Are you doing that now?
Yes.
Okay. If you are doing that, then keep it up for all and all. If you have any children, look at them and say, is there a genius inside there? And there's a genius in there. And you say, okay, come on out. Come on out and play. Come on out and be a genius. I love you, I love you. Be a genius, come on. And the genius comes out. Now, we may not like the genius thought comes out. We may have to do a little guiding, but the thing is, the genius is there. And they may want to be a genius that goes around counting telephone poles or finger nails and stuff. They may even do something that you don't understand. And you have to just be aware. Be careful. Be yourself and have fun. Because you're magic. You're grand, you're good. Yeah. Some of you have 11 plus children. Some of you have minus children, that is not too many. And all of your children, whether you have a large number or a medium number, or I have one, or just one child. You know, when my child was born, they broke the mold. He was the greatest, most fantastic kid on earth. The most intelligent, the most brilliant, the most beautiful. Sorry about that, cheap chittery. My son is the greatest in the world. And what's he doing? He's building and designing ultralight airplanes. And he's flying them all over the world and selling them everywhere. And people from Arabia, not Arabia, but Israel, and from Thailand, they want to take his ultralights and take his patents and work with them. And he says, no, thank you. If I want to give my patents away, I'll give them away. But I'm not going to give them to a country or to a people that have no integrity. They just steal things from people and they say that they're going to work with you. But once they got it going, then they keep all the profit for themselves. Now, so he says he doesn't care. He's having fun doing what he's doing. And he's doing what he's doing and doing it very beautifully because that's what it's all about. And that's what you're all about. Doing it beautifully, whatever it is you want to do. Now, I'm sorry that my son is the greatest guy in the world, but so be it. That's the way it is. Now, what about you? Do you have an opinion? Do you have an opinion about yourself or about your children about your world? Who's the greatest child in the world?
My son.
Your son?
Yes.
What about your daughter?
Huh?
What about your daughter?
Daughter.
Your daughter.
Okay.
Not okay. Okay, that too. Yeah, yeah. No. Who is the greatest? You said, my creation, my children, my offspring. You follow me? Include them all. For if you don't, I have one child. I have no problem in including them all. Because he, for me, is fabulous. And he, for me, does fabulous things. Not for me, but for himself. And he's great. He's the most magnificent being on the face of the earth. You say, well, what about me? What about me? That's for you to make your decision. Does your family think you're the most magnificent being on the face of the earth?
Yes.
Does your family think that with you they broke the mold on having the ideal being, the ideal child? Is that what your mom thinks, Chittery? Chittery?
Yes.
Yes, thank you very much. Yes, that's what your mom thinks. Your mom doesn't know that it's my son. She thinks it's her son. Now, I'm being silly, but the thing is, we should have such silliness about our family, our children, our creation. And if we look at all of our children and see them as soaring in whatever they want to do, we delight with them. We don't lock them up and keep them in a box, because if we do, nothing will come of it. We let them out, and we teach them values. We teach them how to be the most of what they can be, and then we let them go and let them be it. And when we do that, wow, what wonderful things do happen. So, you like that, huh? You like that, Mr. Peter? Peter says, after our class, he's going to have to take off for other parts of the world and leave heaven on earth here. Now, why would anyone leave heaven on earth here just to go somewhere else? Could you imagine that? Why would I go to sunny California when I can be in sunny Nigeria? Good question, isn't it? It all depends on where we have been raised, where we had our fun. Now, where did I have my fun, really? I had my fun as a child, growing up in Wisconsin, growing up with my family in the towns that we were in, and it was glorious. It was wonderful. But that's past. I'm living now. I'm living now, and now, today, I'm here in Nigeria. I'm here in Owerri. I'm here at Sibyl's home. And I am surrounded by some of those beautiful, brilliant, intelligent, glorious people on the face of the earth. Some of them. Because I got a couple at home. I got to include them too, you know. But I'm surrounded by some of the most glorious people on earth. And what do you say to that? You say, very true. Very true. And if you give us a chance, Herb, we'll show you every moment of your life that you spend with us, how glorious we are, how fantastic we are, how capable we are, and how magical we are. And how we may be a songbird, we may be singing out of our hearts, but that's only the beginning of our area of magic. That's only the beginning of our saying, I am myself, being myself, and having fun. So, we'll take a slight pause, and then we'll come back for a discussion on topics of your choice. So, thank you.
Thank you.
Come back at noon, on the hour.